Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Samuna Chiravana Chari Samuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana
I want first canto.
Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Samuna Chiravana Chari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Stotra Sitasi Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Astotra Sattasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Chamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Every Vedic scripture has a verse that is called the Paribhasa Sutra, which means one verse that is the essence of that particular scripture, or one verse which governs all the other verses in the text. This evening I will read the Paribhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam, which establishes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Text 28. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Ete. Ete chamsa kalapumsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Ridyanti, excuse me, Ridayanti Yuge Yuge. Ete Chamsa Kala Pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Ridayanti Yuge Yuge. Ete. All these. Cha. And. Angsha. Plenary portions. Kala. Portions of the plenary portions. Pungsa of the Supreme. Krishna. Lord Krishna. To. But. Bhagavan. The Personality of Godhead. Swayam. In person. Indra Ari, the enemies of Indra. Vyakulam, disturbed. Lokam, all the planets. Midayanti, gives protection. Yuge, yuge, in different ages. Translation. All of the above-mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Please repeat. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of his causeless mercy, the Lord descends from his transcendental abode. Avatar means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord himself, descend on the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes he comes himself, and sometimes his different plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, or his differentiated portions, directly or indirectly empowered by him, descend on this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. That particular sentence is a paraphrase of the definition of Bhagavan given by the great sage Parasara Muni. Aishwarasya Samagrasya. One who possesses these six opulences in full is called Bhagavan. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that under manifestation, when they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. When in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. So Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and is full in all six opulences. But he manifests portions or portions of plenary portions to fulfill certain purposes. And to fulfill those purposes, the specific incarnation may not require the full power of the original personality of Godhead. So the example is that the electric power supply plant may only be providing enough electricity to light a few light bulbs, because that's all that's required in this situation. But it can provide any amount of electricity if required. For example, Lord Parasaram and Lord Nrisimha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakasipu. Hiranyakasipu was so powerful that even the demigods and other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrows. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and in all other aspects. Still, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. You know, it's a little distracting to have the children talking or whatever they're doing. Thank you. But even Hiranyakasipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Nrisimha. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagnya displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation Narada and plenary incarnation Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Rama and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balaram, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumara, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayan Rishis exhibited his renunciation. So all the different incarnations of the Lord indirectly or directly manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead, and thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna, who can guess? What is the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna? Huh? Flute playing. Not bad. There's a list of 60 qualities of the Godhead which are possessed by Lord Narayan. But there are four other features which are possessed only by Krishna, which are not possessed even by Lord Narayan. So yes, one is Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, his sweet flute playing. And one is Lila Madhuri, his wonderful pastimes. And here, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is referring to his wonderful pastimes, and especially so, Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibits the complete features of Godhead. And thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by the Lord, Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. You see, even in our paintings here, but in a way the most prominent position is given to this extraordinary display of the Lord's pastimes with the Vrajagopikas. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss, and knowledge. Although these are manifested apparently as sexual love, the specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto. And in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in the other 9 cantos. So Srimad Bhagavatam is actually an embodiment of Lord Krishna. And one meditates on the form of the Lord, beginning with the lotus feet of the Lord, and gradually progresses up the legs, to the waist, the navel, the chest, the neck, and then ultimately to the smiling face. So the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are compared to the lotus feet of the Lord and the other parts of the body as one gradually moves upwards in one's meditation on the Lord. And the 10th canto, which contains the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan, is compared to the smiling face of the Lord, and especially the pastimes in Vrindavan between Krishna and the gopis. So to prepare oneself to properly understand the 10th canto, the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan, one should first read the other 9 cantos. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. So this point, that it is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. That Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He is the origin of all, but he himself has no origin. And he is the prime cause of all causes. So once on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, I raised the question, which people sometimes ask, that who is the origin of Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada replied that we should tell them that according to our information, Krishna is the origin of all, and he has no other origin. But if you conduct research, and you find that there is something or someone which is the origin of Krishna, we will worship that entity. But in the meantime, you should worship Krishna. So, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to him. Mata paratara nanyat. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there's nothing equal to or superior to me. I am the source of everything. In this stanza, the word swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this stanza, the word swayam signifies the supremacy as the summum bonum. So, who knows the meaning of summum bonum? Do we have any scholars with smartphones who can look up the meaning of summum bonum? I can do it. We'll get the authoritative answer. Yeah, well, what I got, the supreme good from which all others are derived. The summum bonum, Krishna, is one without a second. He has to be one without a second, because if there was a second, it would mean that he was not the origin of everything. It would mean he was not the summum bonum. But there's only one. There's no second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions, and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, Tad Ekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatara, Avesha, and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to their respective persons and personalities. So there's a very elaborate description of different categories of incarnations given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita based on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya with reference to various Vedic literatures, and those categories have been described elaborately, not only in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but in other literature such as Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami, which was recently published by the BBT and which is available. So it's a great science, very technical. The nuances among the different categories and how to identify them. Learned scholars in transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the summum bonum, Krishna, to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentage of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes cent per cent, and his personal expansions such as Swayam Prakash and Tad Ekatma up to the categories of the avatars who are all Vishnu Tattvas possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesh, nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. But the jivas, or the individual living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. So there are 64 attributes of Lord Krishna, and a jiva, a living entity, who is fully realized, can manifest up to 50 of those 64 qualities. Lord Shiva, who is more than a jiva, can exhibit up to 55. And Lord Narayan, who is Vishnu himself, he can exhibit up to 60. But Krishna has four attributes that he alone has, that none of the others have, and we discussed some of those. Venu Madhurya, his sweet flute playing, Leela Madhurya, his sweet pastimes, and Bhakta Madhurya, his especially pure loving devotees, and so on. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, whereas human beings possess, all other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, because they are also jivas. Whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. So we can see, even among living entities, some possess the attributes in greater fullness than others. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridham and Mahesh Dham. So Brahma Samhita actually describes three dhams or abode: Devi Dham, which is the material world where we live; Mahesh Dham, which is the abode of Lord Shiva; and Haridham, which is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari or Krishna. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body. So the whole scheme of the spiritual and material creations is depicted on this cover of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the spiritual sky. And within the spiritual sky, the supreme planet is Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. And it has various sections. Just as Krishna manifests his lila in different places when he comes to earth in Mathura and Dwarka and Vrindavan. So there are also those sections in Goloka Vrindavan, but the highest and most intimate place of Krishna's pastimes is Goloka Vrindavan. And it's also depicted here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because there's also a section for him, because he is actually Krishna. He's the same original personality of Godhead. And so there's a section or prakosht in Goloka Vrindavan for the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there's so many Vaikuntha planets. The whole spiritual sky is filled with Vaikuntha planets, which are presided over by different forms of Vishnu. As you know, or as you may know, Lord Vishnu has four hands with four symbols. Padma, the lotus flower; Shankha, the conch shell; and the chakra, the disc; and the club. Now, on different planets, the Lord holds different objects in different hands. For example, say we begin here with Padma, Shankha, Gada. So then it can be moved like one over and then two over. But the order can also be changed. So each of these different incarnations or forms, we could say different forms, have a different name according to the placement of those different objects. And then it's described that within the spiritual sky, just like within the clear sky, a cloud might form. So within the clear sky of the Brahma Jyoti, a cloud forms. And that cloud is the Mahatattva,
or the material creation. So we are also, in a sense, we're also situated in the spiritual sky, but we're in a cloud within the spiritual sky, and we are encased or entrapped in this material world. And so by hearing transcendental sound from the spiritual sky, we can gain knowledge of our eternal relationship with Krishna, our eternal identities as spiritual beings who are part and parcel of Krishna, and we can reform ourselves and become liberated from this material entanglement. And that is actually the purpose of the material creation, to reform the fallen souls. Sometimes the material world is compared to a prison. And the purpose of the prison is to rectify the prisoners so that they become fit to be discharged from the prison and can become free citizens. So to become a free citizen doesn't mean that you can go out and murder and plunder and so on, but it means that you voluntarily obey the laws of the land. And in the prison means that you have violated the laws. So we have somehow gone against God and come into the material world. And we are meant to be reformed here by the knowledge of the Vedic literatures, and specifically through the process of bhakti yoga, and gain release from the prison and enter our normal, natural, happy life in service to Krishna in his abode. So that is the whole purpose. And there's a nice explanation of the cover. I've sort of given it, but I'll read what the explanation is here. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radha Kala Chandji ki jai. Because this was all based on Srila Prabhupada's original publication of Srimad Bhagavatam in India before he came to America. So one, the original spiritual planet, which resembles the whorl of a huge lotus flower, is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is the abode of Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Actually, I pretty much explained it. I think it would... Well, I'll read it. I didn't cover every detail. It's good to hear. Two. The original planet, Goloka, throws off a spiritual ray of effulgence called Brahma Jyoti, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalists. So this is Krishna Loka, and that Krishna Loka, or Krishna himself, throws off a spiritual effulgence called the Brahma Jyoti, which fills the spiritual sky. And so the impersonal jnanis, their goal is to merge and become one with that spiritual light. But that position is very difficult to attain, almost impossible. And even if one does attain it, one cannot remain there. Patantiyadab. One falls down again because one has neglected the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. But that's their goal. Three, within this unlimited Brahma Jyoti, there are unlimited numbers of spiritual planets, as there are innumerable material planets within the sun rays of the material universes. These spiritual planets are dominated by plenary expansions of Lord Krishna, and the inhabitants are ever liberated living beings. So, on the Goloka Vrindavan planet, Krishna resides in his human-like form, and the devotees of Krishna who serve him there also have human-like forms. They're spiritual forms, but they resemble his form. And on the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord has four-handed Vishnu form, and his devotees who serve him there also have four-handed forms. But they're not Vishnu, they're living entities, but they have that form, that appearance. They are all four-handed. The Lord is known there as Narayan, and the planets are known as Vaikunthas. Who knows the meaning of the word Vaikuntha? Yes, Kuntha means anxiety and Vai means without. So Vaikuntha means no anxiety. Here in the material world, there's always anxiety. But in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, there's no anxiety. So wouldn't that be nice? To live without anxiety. Four. Sometimes a spiritual cloud overtakes a corner of the spiritual sky of Brahma Jyoti, and the covered portion is called the Mahatattva. The Lord then, by his portion as Mahavishnu, lies down in the water within the Mahatattva. The water is called the causal ocean, Karana Jal. So this is a little small to see in this picture, but it's there, and that's exactly what happens. Lord Vishnu lies down in the Karana Jal, in the water of the causal ocean, and he is called Karana Dakshayi Vishnu. And from his breathing, the universes emanate. There are different super souls, so he's like the super soul of the whole material creation, and from his breathing, the different universes are manifest. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and lives there on the Garbha ocean, on the serpentine Shesha incarnation. That Shesha incarnation is an expansion of Lord Balaram, who serves the Lord in many ways. From his navel abdomen sprouts a lotus stem, and on the lotus, Brahma, the Lord of the universe, is born. Brahma creates all living beings of different shapes in terms of desires within the universe. He also creates the sun, moon, and other demigods. So Lord Brahma, he's sometimes called the creator. He's not the primary creator, he's the secondary creator. But he, you could say, engineers the creation of the universe, and he creates the various bodies for the different types of living entities to try to fulfill their material desires. The sun is situated almost in the center of each and every universe, and it distributes profuse life and heat all over the universe. There are millions and billions of suns and all the millions and billions of universes within the Mahatattva. The suns and moons are required within the universe because they are dark by nature. The Vedas instruct us to go out of the dark universes and reach the glowing effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. Tamasi Ma Jyotirgamana. The Brahma Jyoti is due to the illuminating Vaikuntha planets, which need no sun or moon or power of electricity. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to reach the supreme planet, Goloka Vrindavan. The door is open for everyone. Human life is meant for this particular aim, for it is the highest perfection. So everything is actually contained within this one verse, and is explained in the purport and depicted in the cover of Srimad Bhagavatam. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Oh, in the list of incarnations leading up to this verse? Well, it's described here that the incarnations keep coming just like waves in a river, and there's no counting them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called a Chana avatar, or a hidden incarnation. He is mentioned, but in a hidden way, because his appearance is very confidential. So there are verses in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are verses that describe the different incarnations for different ages, and there are verses that describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is not described openly like other incarnations, because he's a very confidential incarnation, and one reason is that in Kali Yuga, there are so many, as Prabhupada would say, rascals, who want to imitate God. Even now, there are so many. There are so many who imitate God. And so, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had presented himself as God, although appearing as a human being, so many rascals who actually were human beings and not God would claim to be God. And even now there's one rascal, I don't know if he's still around, but he He's promoting that he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's openly saying, his followers are openly saying, why go to ISKCON? Why follow Bhakti Yoga? Just come to this so-and-so incarnation of Mahaprabhu, so-called incarnation of Mahaprabhu, and he will directly give you love of Krishna. You don't have to follow any rules and regulations. You don't have to engage in any spiritual practices. So even with all of these precautionary measures, there are rascals who falsely claim. But if it was like openly broadcast that God will come as a devotee, and then there would have been no end to it. That's one reason why Mahaprabhu's incarnation is kept more hidden. All right. Yes, sir. Well, first of all, the Bhagavatam itself says that it is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree of literature. And Srila Jiva Goswami has given elaborate arguments to establish Srimad Bhagavatam as the supreme authority among Vedic literatures. So it is accepted by Srimad Mahaprabhu that Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme authority. It's just not a fact that Shiva is supreme or even Vishnu. It's just not a fact. And, all of these points have been discussed very elaborately in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, this thing that the Shaivites believe this, that, the Shaktas believe that. Well, they're entitled to believe what they want, but how much of Srila Prabhupada's books have you read? I think just if you immerse yourself, you'll understand, the truth of these literatures. But we have no problem, if someone worships another form of Vishnu, we have no problem, because ultimately they're all ultimately Krishna. But as we read, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But there are many discussions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that cover these points. When Lord Chaitanya stayed in Sri Rangam, he stayed as in the guest of Venkata Bhatta, who was a very learned scholar in the Sri Sampradaya. And he had the conception that Narayan was supreme. And there's a very nice discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta, in which Lord Chaitanya established that actually Krishna is the supreme. But still, he did it in such a way as not to hurt Venkata Bhatta. Venkata Bhatta, it's a whole discussion. It's a whole discussion. So I think there's no substitute for really learning the books. I mean, that's how you'll know what the truth is, and that's how you'll see other statements in perspective. Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes within a certain area, someone is considered the supreme, but that doesn't mean overall he's supreme. For example, I mean, Srila Prabhupada was speaking with reference to India. So like in every state has a chief minister. So if you say, you know, so-and-so is the chief, it's not wrong. He is the chief. But he's the chief within that particular province. But he's not the chief overall. So depending on the context, it may not be wrong to say Shiva's chief or Durga's the chief, because they are the chief within certain realms, you know, within certain areas. But it would be incorrect to say that overall they are the chief. So yeah, there are many statements which are true, but they have to be understood in context. But then, you know, then again, there's this sort of, maybe like fighting, you know, so-and-so supreme, no so-and-so supreme. Yeah, I encountered a lot of that when I went to Madras. A lot, you know. They're like the Shaivites, you know, Shiva supreme. And then they're the Vaishnavites, you know, Vishnu supreme. And they're the impersonalists. They thought, oh, how silly, you know, the Shaivites are saying Shiva's supreme and the Vaishnavites are saying Vishnu is supreme. How silly. You know, God is ultimately has no name and no form, and so why are they fighting over these petty things? So there are like a lot of those types of arguments there. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada dealt with them very expertly. There was one man, I don't know how we stand on time here, but I guess if you're sitting and listening, it's okay. So there was this man named Mr. Ramakrishna in Madras, who was known to be very religious. And as I was meeting people in Madras, many told me, oh, you must meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's a very religious man. He will like you and what you're doing. So I met him. And, you know, quite soon, we got into a very major argument. Because he was saying that Shiva was supreme and I was saying that Krishna was supreme. And he was actually a very volatile sort of person. You know, he got very red in the face and he began shouting, and then I was shouting back, and it ended on a very tense note. So I kept meeting people and they kept saying, oh, you have to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's a very religious man. He'll like you. And I imagine he must have been meeting people who were telling him, oh, you must meet the Hare Krishna devotee. They're doing wonderful work. You'll really like them. Because I thought, well, let me try again. So I phoned again and he immediately agreed. That's why I think he was like, he was also hearing things about us. And so I went to see him. And, you know, we were both trying to avoid a heated conflict, a conflagration, like the last time. But eventually it came to the point, who is supreme, Shiva or Krishna? And he started to get heated again, and I also started to get heated. And then fortunately, I was like praying what to do. Then fortunately, I got an idea. And I said to Mr. Ramakrishna, "You know, I'm just a student, but my teacher, Swami Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada, will be coming to Madras soon. So I think you should ask your question to him." And that was like a perfect arrangement, because we didn't need to continue fighting and end up in another heated conflict. Plus, he got to meet Srila Prabhupada. So it was a perfect arrangement. So then when Srila Prabhupada came, Mr. Ramakrishna met him. And Mr. Ramakrishna said, "You know, I've been having some arguments with your Giriraj about who is supreme, Shiva or Krishna." And Srila Prabhupada didn't answer his question as Mr. Ramakrishna framed it. He changed the framing of the question. And he said that there are two words, bhakti and puja. So bhakti or seva means that you serve the person only for the sake of pleasing the person, without any material desire in return. And in puja, one will offer some worship, but one wants to get something in return. So generally, people worship Krishna in the mood of bhakti. They serve Krishna only for Krishna's pleasure. They don't want anything material in return. Whereas generally people serve or worship Shiva to get something material in exchange. So Mr. Ramakrishna said, "Well, isn't it possible that someone could worship Lord Shiva without wanting something material in return?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, it's like someone could go to a liquor shop with some purpose other than purchasing liquor. But generally, it's understood that if someone goes to a liquor shop, they're going to purchase liquor." But Mr. Ramakrishna said, "But still, if it were the case that someone was worshipping Lord Shiva without the desire for anything material in return, could that be counted as bhakti?" And Srila Prabhupada explained, and this is a fact that I've seen many times, that if someone worships Shiva, not to get anything material, but just out of ignorance, not knowing that Shiva is a devotee of Krishna and that Krishna is the Supreme, Shiva will lead them to Krishna. And I believe, he's not here for us to ask him to tell the story, but I believe our own temple president here, Nityananda Prabhu, was in that category. But I know many cases, people worship Shiva not to get anything material in return, but they just don't know who the Supreme is. And by worshipping Shiva in that mood, Shiva as a Vaishnava, Vaishnava Nam Yata Shambhu, he will lead them to Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. Because there really is no such thing as Shiva Bhakti. You know, if you worship Shiva in that mood, he will lead you to Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. And within Krishna Bhakti, you will automatically respect Shiva as a devotee. So, Vaishnava Namyata Shambhu. All right, well, thank you very much. We have 2 minutes left from my self-designated end time of 6:30. So we still have 1 minute to spare, but not wanting to go over time, we will end now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.